ever think you'd direct a Batman movie before?
Yeah. No, I have, but not one like this.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, Adam West and William Shatner and Burt Ward, it's pretty incredible.
What was your favorite thing with working with such an amazing cast?
I think it's just kind of what they brought to it, you know, especially in the case of William Shatner. I think his performance as Two-Face is just incredible. Like, it was fun to, you know, we record these things, and then, well, most of the time we record these things first, and then we do storyboards to them, you know? And their performances are really helpful in us kind of in dictating to us what, you know, how they're going to be acting visually and all that stuff, the shots that we choose even. but I think when you guys see it, if you haven't seen it or whatever, Two-Face is awesome.
Do you guys think you're going to carry on? I don't know if this is the decision that you make, but are you going to carry on with the Batman 66 animated without Adam?
It's not a decision that I make, but, you know, I don't know. I feel like it's doubtful just because, you know, Adam West. And, but I love this era. I love this take on Batman. So, you know, if they wanted to do more, I'd be up for it.
Go ahead. How'd you settle on Two-Face as the villain?
Well, I mean, I think it's one of those things where it's you know, obviously it's someone, it's a villain that had never appeared in this era before, and it just kind of seems like, you know, William Shatner would have been, at that time, a good fit for the role in reality, and so it made a lot of sense.
What was your entry point into Batman, like, growing up, and, like, how did that influence the way you handle the properties?
It was probably the Adam West show, actually, because I do remember watching that as a very young kid, in reruns, of course, you know, on the weekends and whatever, and on summer vacation, and just, it actually is the reason that I love the character of Robin so much, because I love Burt Ward as Robin, so that was really nice pleasure to work with him.
If you were to continue this franchise of the Batman 66, where would you like to take the next story?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a good question. I think this one tonally is very different than Return of the Caped Crusaders, the last one that we did. That one was a lot more campy. This one's humorous, but it's also actually darker. So I don't know. I don't know if we can go much darker than what we've done here. Maybe that way. I don't know.
What's it been like going from the first one to this one? Like the transition and.
I think the first one was sort of difficult in a way. Just trying to get people working in a style that we were kind of unfamiliar with, filmmaking wise, and well, some of us were unfamiliar with. But this one, I think, was a lot more natural because we basically ended up just saying, like, you know what? What if it was basically Batman the Animated Series, but with Adam West, you know? So we kind of approached it sort of in that vein. And I think that was something that a lot of the crew was more comfortable with. So, and plus, like, having gotten that first one out of us, it always kind of progressively gets easier, so.
Are there any other bat villains you'd like to see get the 66 treatment?
I mean, you know, it's funny. There's actually a sequence in this one that was just kind of like a throwaway thing where it's the very beginning of the film, and you just kind of see them, Batman and Robin, taking out different villains and whatever. And at the time, I remember thinking, like, well, what if we did, like, some of the more modern villains, like ridiculous things, like what would Bane be like in 66, you know? It didn't end up happening, but you know, that there could be something interesting there.
It's interesting that you say this one is a lot darker than the first one, because Batman 66 does not strike me as a dark show.
Right.
So, I mean, in your experience, in your history with the character, like, why does Batman always need to go dark?
I don't think it does need to go dark. I mean, you know, clearly the last film wasn't, and it's a matter of scale. When I say dark, like, you know, still watch this one. It's not, you know, it's not Christian Bale. It's not. Yeah, no, it doesn't. I don't believe that. I mean, a lot of the stuff that I do is the Lego Batman, you know, Lego DC stuff. That's very light Batman, you know, very, you know, humorous Batman. So, I think he works in any way you want to do him. You know, put him in space. He works. He does.
Are you excited for the Ninja Batman?
I'm very curious to see it. I know nothing about it, but I'll watch it. Yeah.
Shatner obviously comes with his own reputation and legacy. Were there nerves before meeting him for the first time? And was there anything about him that surprised you?
That surprised me? No, I mean, you know, it's funny because you do these voice records, and usually it's me, you know, if I'm the producer and some, you know, production staff, or if I'm directing, it's me, the producer, maybe the writer's there, a couple other people. That room was full. There were a ton of people there for that record. I think everybody was really interested in seeing what he was going to bring to it, and that was a more memorable experience for me. It was great. He had some great, you know, he had some great moments in that record. It was fun to see. I wish you all could see it.
What was it like watching the last movie in a room full of a bunch of fans and seeing like a live reaction to it?
Well, it was last year here at New York Comic Con that we did that. It was great. I mean, I know that these crowds, it being Comic Con and all, the crowd is familiar with the material. They're primed for it. I mean, it's fun because these things don't go to theater. I mean, I guess that one had a fathom release, but I don't generally, you know, they don't generally go to theater, so you don't get to see them with a crowd. So that part of it is nice to see where people react. But it's always different. Like when I see it with people, it's like they react to things that I had no idea were going to hit, and the things that I thought were like gold don't get a reaction. So it's, you know.
You think any other franchises, maybe like Wonder Woman 77, would possibly be in the works down the line?
I don't know about that, but I think it'd be great. You know, I mean, we've all talked about it. Like, oh, wouldn't it be cool if we did this one, or wouldn't it be cool if we did, you know, Batman 89 or whatever. You know, but yeah, I don't know any firm plans on anything like that. It'd be awesome.
I wanted to piggyback off your question, your answer to her question. When you watch something live and you get unexpected reactions from the fans, does that change how you approach the next film? Like that one, that joke that we thought was going to land really didn't, so maybe we should rethink it.
No, this sounds terrible, but there is a part of me that just, I feel like we have to do what we do, you know what I mean? And if there are too many outside influences, like it can kind of, I don't know, dilute or change a direction that you're going and muddle things, you know? So you know, it's cool. If something goes really wrong, then yeah, probably you'd have to reconsider. But no, I think it's a matter of scale. Like I remember on Green Lantern. I remember on Green Lantern, the animated series, our producer Giancarlo, he had this gag in this episode, and I don't exactly remember what it was, but I remember being in the animatic edit and being like, and thinking, I don't know that's funny. Like I don't see it. I don't get it. And he was like, no, it's funny. And everybody else that watched it was like, that's not funny. And then we showed it to the audience at Comic-Con, and it was uproarious laughter. And I was like, all right, I don't know what I'm talking about. So let's
stopping point right now. So
yeah, I think we're good. Thank you,
everybody. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.